Good morning, church. Welcome to our online worship this morning. If this is your first time here, I would like to welcome you warmly. If this is not your first time here, welcome back, old friends. It's so great to see you this morning. So what we've been doing for the past month is we've been talking about Peter. We've been going through the Rock series, and we have looked at his starting point. We have looked at his fall. We have looked at his bad points and his highlights of his life. And today we continue to learn more about Peter. So one thing that I learned about Peter is that he is persistent, and he is someone who consistently wants to get closer to Christ. And today we'll hear from Pastor Gabriel about his redemption and find out more how what happened to him after he has denied Jesus. So I invite you to stand with me, okay? Open up your arms and let us pray and get ready our hearts for worship this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we want to give thanks for this journey and this chance of knowing you. And we want to give thanks for this faith that has been given to us. Lord, I pray that as we grow our faith, you will be walking alongside us, and that we can learn from Peter to become the cornerstone and become the foundation of which your gospel is spread. So bless us this morning. Open up our ears and our hearts to hear and to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us remain standing and join together for worship.
Good morning, church. It's good to have you worship with us. May we come before the Lord with a grateful heart. Years ago, on a hill called Calvary, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You and I are the recipient of his love and grace. Let us be reminded of what he has done for us and worship his name. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless day we will sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven dead, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. Sing your praise, O Lord our God. return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless day we will sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did thy grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been saved free. My Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, an ending love, amazing grace. The Lord has my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, an ending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior. unending love, amazing grace. God, how can we respond to your unending love and amazing grace? Lord, we pray. We pray that we trust you with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. I pray that we will submit all our ways to you, believing that you will make our path straight. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will live love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender, make me Savior only then. Oh, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for your unending love and amazing grace. May our surrendering to you be an acceptable offering before your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We all have regret. We regret the opportunity we have missed. We regret things that we have done to others. We regret the words that we have said, which hurt our close friends. Talking about life regret, I still remember that Tuesday morning in October 2016. It was the day after Thanksgiving began, and after dropping off my kids to school, I went to Tim Hortons, as usual, to get my tea before I went to work. Suddenly, I received a call from my brother in Toronto, and he told me that my mom was in an emergency and it was critical. Immediately, I called my wife Shirley, and within minutes, we came up with a decision. Let's fly back right away, together. The rest of that morning was simply crazy. My wife called our travel agent and booked the tickets. I went to school and picked up all three kids from different school. And then we all gathered at home, start packing. And by around 2 o'clock, we managed to get on the plane. During the flight, I still remember, we were all anxious. We wished the plane could go faster. We prayed for God's mercy to sustain my mom. And we cried to God, please give her the chance to see her. At the flight, I thought of the many moments our family have shared together. I thought of that chilly February morning when mom made breakfast for me before I went to school for my first day of high school in Canada. I thought of that Saturday when mom and dad drove me to London, Ontario and dropped me off at the university residence. I thought of the first moment when I first shared to my mom about sensing God's calling to me to full-time ministry. And I thought of that day in 2014 when we said goodbye to her and dad and start our road trip leaving Toronto to Vancouver. And then I thought of the other moments that I wish I could share with her. I thought of the many more words that I never had the chance or courage to tell her. But deep down in my heart, on that flight, I was scared. Deep down in my mind, there was a thought, what if it was too late? No matter how ready I am on my side, what if it was too late on her side? Yes, we all have regret. As you look back for the past 3 years, what would be some of the regret in your life? Would it be a broken relationship that never restore? Would it be a career opportunity that you turn down? Would it be your child's first piano recital that you have missed? Or would it be some hurtful words that you said to your spouse? There's so much shame and pain from that past incident, right? And every other people give you suggestion. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You'll get over it. But every time, as you look back, it still hurts. Forget is easier than done. And deep down in your heart, you still remember. As you wonder, is it possible? Is it really possible to redeem the regret? You ask, how can we truly redeem all those regret in life? If we ask the Apostle Peter about his biggest life regret, I'm sure he would tell you it was the multiple denials of his master, which Pastor Carson just shared last Sunday. From the message last week, we saw a rock who thought that he was always strong enough to stand against any challenge and against all the challenges and stand up for Jesus. It was Peter who told Jesus that though the other 11 disciples all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Let's recap what happened to Peter at that unforgettable evening. At the Last Supper, it was Peter who said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death." When Jesus was arrested and brought to the high priest, it was Peter who was following at a distance. When being challenged by other people about his connection with Jesus, it was Peter who repeatedly saying, "I do not know him." While Peter was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And at that very moment, Peter remembered. He remembered what Jesus has predicted about his denials. And eventually, he went out and wept bitterly. In Peter's heart, he was deeply burdened by shame and regret. If I'm Peter, I probably would have this thought. Why am I such a coward? I should be the one who should be protecting my master. When other people ask me about Jesus, I should respond differently. I wish I would be more bold. But now, it's too late. There's nothing I can do. Nothing. I'm such a failure. And if you only read the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all you can read is about this rock-bottom experience. Matthew wrote, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Mark told us that Peter broke down and wept. And Luke mentioned Peter went out and wept bitterly as well. And imagine if this is all we know about Peter. Imagine if this is the end of this story of the rock. Rock bottom, period, right? While we thought that Peter's story would end in tears and regret, the Bible has more about the story of the rock. In the fourth gospel, the apostle John had a very special coverage about what happened to Peter after his rock bottom experience. In John chapter 21, the story of the rock turned a new page. The setting is no longer in Jerusalem. It took place by the Sea of Tiberias, which was also known as the Sea of Galilee. Yes, it was at Galilee that Jesus first called his disciples, including Peter. In John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter told the other six disciples, "I'm going fishing." For Peter, fishing was not a hobby. If you still remember the story we read 2 weeks ago at Luke chapter 5, for Peter, fishing was his profession before he followed Jesus. For Peter, actually, fishing was his old normal. But interestingly, in John chapter 21, verse 3, the Bible said, they went out and go into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Fishing all night, but caught nothing. Does this sound familiar? Well, let's keep that in mind and see how the story unfolds. After a long night without any catch, Peter and the other disciples were planning to call it the night. At that moment, they saw a person standing on the shore asking, "Do you have any fish?" And after noticing that no fish has been caught, that person told them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So Peter and the other disciples followed what that person said. And to their surprise, it was a big catch. It was a big catch. If I'm Simon Peter, I would be overjoyed, I'm sure, about this unexpected catch. But other than that, Peter might have the following thoughts. "Hey, what was happening now? Everything is just like what it's like 3 years ago. Hey, remember, we fished all night and caught nothing, right? 3 years ago. And remember, Jesus asked me to go into the deep and let down the net for a catch. And remember, the catch was so huge that our net were breaking, right?" Just as Peter was still trying to make sense of what's actually happening. At the other side of the boat, there was John who yelled, "It is the Lord! It is the Lord!" When Peter heard about that, he put on his outer garment and jumped right into the lake, out of the boat. And once he reached the shore, he saw Jesus standing right there. And next to Jesus, there was also a charcoal fire with fish and bread. Fishing at Galilee. A night without any fish. Then an unexpected and miraculous catch. Everything seems so familiar, right? It seems like Jesus is trying to bring Peter back to his starting point. And on top of that, charcoal fire on the beach. I'm sure the fire will remind Peter about what happened on that terrible night at the courtyard, his rock bottom moment. The last time Peter stood next to a charcoal fire, he denied his master. And now Peter was next to another charcoal fire, face to face with Jesus, the risen master. And imagine how Peter would have felt. If you were Peter, what would you say to your master? The master whom you have denied not just once, not just twice, but three times. And is there anything Peter could do to redeem the regret? There's not much, actually, Peter could do at that moment. But let's recall what Pastor Carson has taught us last week. Jesus knew Peter. And after all the ups and downs, he still chose Peter. So now let's find out what happened to Peter after his life was hitting rock bottom. John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" By the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" If you were Peter, how would you react to Jesus' question, "Do you love me?" And Jesus did not just ask him once. Jesus did not just ask him twice, but three times. At the lake shore, Jesus asked the same question three times. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" When your master asked you the same question three times, how would you react? I'm sure by the time when Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter would connect the dot. At the Jerusalem courtyard, when people asked Peter, "Do you know this man?" Peter said no, not just once, but three times. Now, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Not just once, but three times, Peter would now connect the dots. And this is why verse 17 told us that Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time. And at that charcoal fire in the courtyard, Peter has the biggest regret in his life. But the story of the rock did not end at the courtyard. Peter's faith journey did not stop at that charcoal fire. At another charcoal fire by the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus gave Peter a second chance to bounce back from rock bottom. Jesus repeated repeated question was indeed an invitation. It was an invitation for Peter to redeem his regret. It was an invitation to Peter to reaffirm his love for his master. And three times, Peter replied to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." At the first charcoal fire in Jerusalem, Peter's faith journey was at rock bottom. We only saw regret, despair, and tears. At this second charcoal fire here in Galilee, however, we see a new beginning. We see a glimpse of hope. We see the gracious forgiveness from God. And besides asking Peter the same question, Jesus also restored Peter's calling. There's no need to go back fishing. There's no need to go back to the old normal. Jesus called Peter to be a shepherd, to feed my sheep, to tend my sheep, and again, to feed my sheep. And after affirming Peter's role of shepherding, Jesus went on saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." For Peter, "follow me" is more than just another saying from Jesus. It was the same message given by the Master to Peter 3 years ago at the starting point. 3 years ago, Peter fell down and said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." 3 years ago, Jesus told Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." 3 years ago, it was the same Jesus asking Peter, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And now, 3 years later, after all the ups and downs, Jesus' message to Peter remained unchanged. Is it the same calling 3 years ago? Come and follow. Come and follow. Despite Peter's limitation, Jesus still chose Peter. And even after all these ups and downs, Jesus did not disqualify Peter. As we are reading Peter's story from God's perspective, here is the good news. Jesus knew Peter. Jesus chose Peter. And after all the ups and downs, Jesus came back and seek Peter. And once again, he called Peter to follow him. He called Peter, continue the following. In Jesus' eyes, Peter was not a failure. Peter was not a failure. So where are you now, this morning, in your faith journey? Are you like Peter, who has hit rock bottom in your faith journey? All you have are tears, maybe regret and despair. Or perhaps you are like Peter, who has been following Jesus for a long time, since Kapos, since your fellowship. But now, September 2020, you feel that you are disconnected from the Lord. You are miles away from Jesus. And you thought that all you can do is just to go back to the spiritual old normal. You thought that you have been drifting away too far. You even thought that you have reached the point of no return. But this morning, let me encourage you. Do not call it a quit. Do not called acquit. In Jesus' eye, you are not over yet. You are not over yet. If Jesus, think about that, can restore Peter, who has denied his master 3 times, he can also restore you. No matter how you have failed him, he can give you a new beginning. So don't disqualify yourself, because even God has not given up on you. Don't disqualify yourself, because even God has not given up on you. As long as you don't give up, God's gracious hand is upon you, and God's grace is sufficient to redeem even your worst regret. As long as you don't give up, God's grace is sufficient to redeem your worst regret. Peter's story actually reminds me about an unforgettable chapter of my life when I was also far away from God. During my first year of university, I was living away from home in London, Ontario, also on campus as well. Campus life at Western, which is the school, the University of Western Ontario, was really fun, and sometimes too much fun. There were parties every weekend. I still remember every Monday morning, when I walked through the hallway, you would see beer cans, you would see sticky floors, because after the party, beers are everywhere. And slowly, the God to whom I have been followed since kindergarten was further and further away. I did not attend any campus fellowship. I did not go to any church on Sunday when I was on campus. I was drifting further and further away from Jesus I've been following. But after many months, I still remember it was almost March. It was right before the final exam. One Saturday evening, I was getting tired of all the parties, so I chose to stay in my residence. At that point, I had been tired about all the parties and I wanted to do something different. So that night, I tried to quiet down. And suddenly, after I quiet down, I have an urge to pick up my old Bible that I haven't touched for months. And as I open my Bible, I find some verses I have been underlined when I was following God years before. Underlined, highlighted, whatever. And I tried to read all those verses I underlined before. And at that moment, God seems to tell me something. Dear child, it has been a long time since we connect. Now, after all the weeks and months, it's time to come home. And later that evening, besides reading the Bible, I also tried to pray to God. This is an urge. Maybe I should pray. After many months of not talking to God at all, and to my surprise, the moment I start praying, I felt that God actually was never far away. The God whom I have been knowing since I was young, actually, as what other people said, He is just a prayer away. And as I look back, during my first year, my faith journey went rock bottom. But afterwards, after all these months of wandering, God gave me a second chance to restore my relationship with Him. 2,000 years ago, beside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus came to seek Peter. He asked Peter the most central question: Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And He called Peter the same way He called him 3 years ago. And imagine this morning, September 2020, If Jesus come and find you and ask you the same question, do you love me? What would be your answer? Do you love me more than your career? Do you love me more than your accomplishment? Do you love me more than your loved ones? Through all the ups and downs, God is still calling Peter to follow him. And here is my challenge for you this morning. No matter how you have failed him, he can restore you. Don't disqualify yourself, because even God has not given up on you. As long as you don't give up, God's grace is sufficient to redeem your worst regret. God's grace is sufficient to redeem even your worst regret. In the presence of Jesus this morning, I want to extend the same invitation that Jesus gave Peter. Come and follow. Come and follow. As long as you don't give up on yourself, there's no one in the world that God cannot restore. As long as you don't give up, God's grace is sufficient to redeem even your worst regret. Now, let's bow down and reflect and have a word of prayer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through the story of Peter, dear God, we thank you. We thank you for reminding us about your forgiveness. Thank you for opening our eyes to see how amazing is your grace. Lord, help us. Help us to cling to your gracious hand. Help us to trust that your grace is sufficient. And help us to trust that you are big enough to redeem even our biggest regret. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's praise together his name, for his grace is amazing.
Oh, these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. God's failures, you take our weakness, you send your treasures in jars of clay.
heart, Lord. I'll be your face so the world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Oh, I can see.
Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for raising up this broken vessel to life. Thank you for reminding us that your grace is sufficient for us, and that your power is made perfect in our weaknesses. So, church, let us all boast all the more gladly of our weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So this is the end of our worship this morning. You can continue to participate in worship through offering. There are different ways that you could join us. There is PayPal, there's check, there's also credit card. So head over to mykec.ca for more information. And I have two announcements for everyone this morning. The first one is Youth Zoom Worship Online for the grade 6 to 9s. So what is happening for them is that they will join the adult praise and worship, and when they're done, they will log on to Zoom and they will have their own message delivered to them through Zoom. And this is because we recognize the fact that the youth, they need to have a message that is relevant to them that they could understand and that they could participate in. And I encourage you to join us, go on to mykec.ca, register, so that you can be a part of this group of youth that we can grow together and continue to learn more about Christ. The second thing is youth oikos. So we have not forgotten the older grades, the grade 10s and beyond. We have youth oikos for them on every Friday night. So if you are in the age range of grade 10 and above and you do not have an oikos, I encourage you to register yourself, join us, because in my own personal opinion and experience is that this is a time when you can build friendship and grow together. And even though I am very far away from my friends, we continue to spend time with each other, to catch up with one another, pray one another. And these are friendships, they are lifelong. So this is a great chance for you to build this kind of friendship and also at the same time, build your relationship with Christ. So I encourage you, register, join us. And I look forward to seeing you on Friday nights. So this is the end of worship for this morning. I encourage you to continue to dwell in the word of the Lord. So I invite you to stand and open your arms in a gesture of receiving as I share with you the benediction for today, taken from 2 Peter chapter 3. So therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for this, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.